And we will... let me do something real quick here. Hold on one second. I got to pull up another view of the homepage. Let me see if I got that picture up there yet. Not yet. All right, I'm putting that picture up from the state of Maine. The governor up there, Janet Mills, has ordered all food servers to wear dog cones. Those things you get at the vet if your dog, they want to keep his head from biting or scratch, whatever. It's a dog cone to keep the breath of the food servers going up. Well, the picture of the food server shows her full face, everything else, the dog collar, the dog cone is down plenty low. Her breath is going to go right up and over the side and wherever it wants to go. This is really nuts. This is crazy stuff. And unfortunately, it's not the only example of that. We've got a real virus. We've got a real problem. Unfortunately, also, we have real idiots trying to draft solutions for them, which are not only anti-science, but anti-common sense. Just absurd. Ridiculous. Okay, time to go visit with Dr. Henry Nyman again to see what's going on the coronavirus front. Hello, Henry. Do you have your dog collar, your dog cone ready? So when you go out, your voice and your breath will stay up high.
It's a Victoria collar, I think is what they call it. But anyway, no, I do not have my dog cone.
Victorian collar. Okay, I remember that. I got that.
But I don't go out that much anyway.
Don't go out much anymore. That's it. I know that story.
No, but actually, what I'll get to by mid-October, when a lot of people think they're going to be voting, and early voting, and November 3rd, where they think they're going to go vote in person. I think a lot of people will be wearing cones, but they won't be going out either. It's really being set up for a perfect storm, and the storm's going to hit right about then. It'll be...
It's true. The timing is clear. I mean, I can see it, right. And I don't have your perspective, right. But I sure see it.
Right. And that's why I want to talk a little bit about what's going on at the post office, the latest. But anyway, before I get to that, the numbers are fairly similar. There's over 1,000 deaths again today. There's 1,095. It might be a little more coming from California. There's almost 45,000 cases today, and these numbers are similar. There are actually a few more deaths yesterday, but the number of cases is very similar today as yesterday. So it's a little bit lower than it's been, but the testing is down quite a bit. And so that's another reason that this perfect storm is becoming increasingly likely.
That's the thing we talked about. Let me say one thing. For all of you newcomers, no testing means low numbers or no numbers. That's in some people's weird worlds, that's the way they would handle a pandemic. Just don't test for it.
Right. Right. And unfortunately, the virus doesn't care. They don't care whether you know it's there or not. Like Trump says, it's really small. You can't really see it. And you know it's there by identifying people that have the virus. And you do that by testing, especially if you want to know about the asymptomatic cases, which could be very high. And could actually be very high in children. So the data is becoming clearer that, you know, the whole idea that, well, the children don't die and therefore they don't get the virus, or if they do get the virus, it's not a problem. Well, it's not a problem for the children if basically handled the virus reasonably well, but it's a problem for all of their contacts if they are asymptomatically infected and are transmitting the virus, or if they have a milder case and they're transmitting the virus. And so as far as the viral spread is concerned, the milder the cases, the more likely it is that the person infected is going to spread it, because they don't know they're infected. They're going to go ahead and assume they're not infected. Or even if they've got a little bit of a cough or sniffle, but it isn't getting worse, they're going to assume, you know, they've got the flu or they've got something fairly minor and it's going to go away and they'll worry about it if it gets worse. And the virus will spread that way. And you know, it can be contained if people are assuming that everybody's infected and they're wearing masks and they're limiting their contacts. But if they're told masks are optional, and children generally don't die from it, and young people don't die from it, then they're much less likely to limit exposures, and then much more likely that they're going to spread the virus. And that was kind of seen over Memorial Day weekend. Memorial Day weekend, people had been cooped up for a long time. They wanted to get out. It looked like the cases were going down, that the local outbreaks were getting under control, and a lot of people went out and about. And, you know, there were signs up there warned about social distancing and wearing masks. But, you know, some people observed that and some people didn't. And then there was a big jump in cases several weeks after Memorial Day weekend. And then there were other increases in cases because the limitations had been lifted. Bars and restaurants were open. People were going to bars and restaurants to celebrate birthdays, celebrate whatever. And they were transmitting the virus. And, WHO is saying that most of the transmission today is by younger people because of the reasons that I just gave, that they think that, you know, they start out thinking they're invincible, and then they read that, you know, it's mostly the older people that end up dying from the virus. And they figure that, you know, it's not that big a deal. Even if they get infected, it's not that big a deal. And they get infected, and it becomes a big deal to their contacts, because then their contacts get infected. They're not necessarily all younger people, and they're not necessarily all people that don't end up in the hospital or don't end up dying. And then there's no leadership. I mean, the leadership is leading you, leading to more infections. This guy, well, you know, wearing a mask is optional, and I'm not going to wear one because, you know, I just don't like them and they don't look good. So
you'd look better in a cone than a mask. Come on, Henry, we got a new way to go now. Governor Mills,
a little bit.
Cones.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But he, the president really doesn't wear masks very often. He's cut back. He's not having rallies after a lot of people got infected in Tulsa, and at least one person, notable person, ended up dying. And so he's cut back a little bit on that, but it's almost everything he's done has been too little too late. And that's why the U.S. is number one in the world in deaths, number one in the world in cases. and other countries got the viral load down, and now they're worried about some resurgences, but their cases are in the tens or hundreds. Ours is in the tens of thousands, you know, like 50,000 every day. And there's a lot of virus around. And school is starting. School started in the South. Boots of the ground update here in Pittsburgh. The high school here.
Henry's going to be arrested for hanging around the school outside with his raincoat on. You better be careful, Henry. When you wear your cone, it'll really draw attention.
This one actually came from my daughter who went to check out the band. And their wind instruments are not allowed to practice. They can march. They can get their positions on the fields down, but they're not, you know, making music with their instruments because they're not using those. I'm not sure what they're going to end up doing. Mostly, the only ones that are playing instruments are the percussion. So they
didn't put a mask on the wind instruments. I thought they were going to mask them. That would have been kind of fun.
Well, I don't know. They don't even have them. So I'm not sure what they're going to do when school starts. School starts on Monday. So, and I know that the sports were delayed until, I think, the 10th. Last time I saw, they might have been delayed again. So the football games aren't going to start for, about three more weeks. And whether once school starts, they're going to escalate and start using the instruments, or whether they're going to mask them, or whether they're basically got routines where they don't use the wind instruments. They're basically, those band members are just marching they come up with ways to make music without, with just the subset of the instruments that aren't going to blow wind. I don't know. But anyway, that is how they're practicing right now. And school is starting on Monday, and freshmen did do orientation, this week. I'll be able to get more boots on the ground on how long school stay open here. My prediction is that the football season won't be a whole lot longer than a couple of weeks after they get started, which is, I think, the 10th now. So I think they'll have trouble making it through till the end of September, as far as, the actual season. And, I wouldn't be surprised if switch over to online even before that, because I'm pretty certain that they'll do some screenings when school actually does start next week, and then they'll realize how many students actually are infected. At the college level, I think there's reported cases in like 15 states so far. Those are clearly very low numbers that they're just getting numbers by media reports that they're saying, they started school and they started testing and they've got positives already. They're kind of putting a tally together of what that is. And here in Pennsylvania, the only school they've reported so far is in Temple, which is in the Philadelphia area. But, I'm not sure what the schedule is. I know that they were moving in here for Pitt, but I'm not sure if classes have started yet. And something like Penn State, it's got, I don't know how many they have, 40,000 students there or something. They're probably moving in right now and haven't really got going yet. But the virus is going to be all over the place in these schools, both because the students are in dormitories and they're going to have on-campus and off-campus parties, and then they're going to start class, And, you know, I don't know. But here it does seem like masks are optional. All the signs say, you know, fight the virus, wear a mask or something, and keep six-foot distance. And actually, as far as people going into the building, I really haven't seen anybody going into the building without a mask. As far as practicing on the athletic field, hardly any of the athletes do have masks. The instructors have masks, the trainers and the coaches, but not the actual players. Ultimate Frisbee, I saw some wearing masks, but that was about it. You know, nobody else is wearing a mask. So what's going to end up happening, and this isn't really that hard, I've kind of touched on this, but it's pretty obvious that this is going to be the equivalent of, you know, Memorial Day weekend, but it's not going to be just a weekend. It's just going to build upon itself. And so with 50,000 cases per day without school, once school gets going, that number is going to start to go up. And the number of deaths is going to take like a month, 6 weeks or so before that starts to go up dramatically over what it is. But it's already fairly high. It's between 1,000 and 1,500 cases. So that might start creeping up a little bit. But it'll hit hard in, you know, 6 weeks or so. And it's really setting things up for this perfect storm, because the schools will touch off a series of infections when the kids bring the virus home, and then that's going to go to older people. They're going to end up in the hospital, and then they're going to end up in the ICUs, and then there's going to be a rerun. There's going to be a shortage of PPEs. The healthcare workers might start balking if they're really short on PPEs again, because I don't know what the number, but hundreds of healthcare workers died in the spring. And
I have a story up honoring them. Somebody sent it in. It was very nice. And I put that up in headlines. It's kind of in memoriam to remember how many people gave their lives on the front line fighting this this really ugly, evil virus. It's a fact.
Much of it was needlessly. They didn't have the right equipment.
Well, when they're wearing raincoats, for God's sakes, you couldn't be more correct. Yeah, come on. Guy that called you from Portland?
Right.
Jeez.
Well, that's the reason the Ebola spread, if you recall.
I do remember
that. The only spread of Ebola was the two healthcare workers in Texas. And they really didn't have the right PPEs when, you know, they started treating the the only patient that really came to the U.S. by commercial airlines. And they both got infected. Now, it turned out they were identified early, and they both recovered. But if they had the right PPEs, there's a good chance that no one would be infected. I mean, the index case had contacts before he was admitted in the hospital, and his contacts didn't get infected. So it wasn't like he had that much virus that you were guaranteed you were going to get infected. And in all likelihood, they were infected because they didn't have the proper PPEs. And it's clear that when these are, you know, these masks are made for, you know, one-time use and disposal, they're not made, something you're supposed to take home and wash and bring back and contaminate your house while you're trying to clean your mask so that you can have some type of protection because there aren't any other masks available. But, it's not at all clear that if there's a significant uptick in cases, especially if the uptick is not localized like it's been, but really hit the entire country as well as the rest of the world, that there's going to be a shortage again of PPEs.
And, it won't take long to burn through them. It sounds like you're in a restaurant. Are you? Is your server wearing a cone?
No, not in a restaurant. I don't know.
All right, I'm kidding. I have a story up now. You'll see it. It's the first. I put it up at the top of headlines. It'll also be. It's also the first story in the bottom splash rotation. You'll see the waitress with the cone on. You'll see it. First story up there, so all of you take a look. This could be the new trend. We'll find out. Here are a couple of stories, Henry, and headlines I want you to comment on, if you will. By the way, just an FYI, 1.1 million more people have filed for unemployment insurance. The economy is devastated. All right. 194 countries' economies have been destroyed from this this pandemic and trying to handle it. These are huge things. CDC Chief Redfield says coronavirus deaths could start to fall next week. Let's take that one. Why would Redfield say that? And what's your call? Is this a little bit of a plateau in the middle of summer, late summer?
No, I think deaths are basically based upon how many people are in the hospital and how quickly they're being replaced. And he's probably basing that on the number of hospitalizations and how many people are in the ICU. And even if most of the patients in the ICU die, that as they die, if they're not being replaced, and the number of patients in the ICU starts to go down, and that will translate into a dip in the cases.
Is this a reflection of people staying away from hospitals more and more? If they're sick, they're going to stay home and fight it out. I've heard this. Is that a possible factor in this? People not running to the hospitals anymore?
It's possible. I think that the virus right now is kind of going in waves type of a thing. When the numbers go up, then people do get more concerned about the virus. They're more likely to wear masks. If you looked at Trump's rallies, you know, these mini rallies that he's holding, that have limited number of people. I mean, they have hundreds of people. There's not thousands of people there. But I saw the one here in Pennsylvania. I mean, he holds them in airport hangars. And a reasonable number of people there were wearing masks. And so a lot of places, they're just getting used to it because a lot of stores won't allow you in without a mask. And so they've got a mask and they, you know, they'll wear the mask to go in the store and take the mask off when they, you know, leave. And I think it's the same thing when you get these outbreaks of cases. If the media is reporting how many people are going into the hospital and how many are in the ICU and with the shortage of beds, then people are more likely to take the virus seriously, and they're more likely to put on masks or be more aware of distancing. And the virus, I mean, the virus has to transmit to continue expanding or even maintaining itself, because you know, one way or the other, the host is no longer hospitable. Either the immune system knocks the virus out or the host dies, and so the virus has to get to a new person. And if there aren't that many contacts, and if they're wearing masks and the virus doesn't transmit that easily, and in all likelihood, it is harder for the virus to transmit in the summertime just because the virus doesn't do that well in the sunlight. And if people are outside, there's a big dilution factor. You know, there's a big difference between coughing inside in a room with a bunch of other people, and the virus is going to hang around there, than if you cough outside where the wind's going to blow the virus around. The outside air is going to dilute the virus. The sunlight's going to kill the virus. And so the virus doesn't transmit that easily when everybody's outside. If it's too hot and everybody goes inside where it's air conditioned, then it's more likely that the virus will transmit there. So the point is, though, that when you have these outbreaks, people read about them, and you know, even if everybody doesn't believe it, enough people believe it that they limit their exposure, and then it's harder for the virus to transmit. And, you know, you have to have an R naught of more than one for it to keep going. And you have to have something near one for it to be steady state. And if it's significantly below that, the numbers are going to go down. So when it goes in these waves, there were these big outbreaks in the South, and they put a lot of people in the hospital. And there were probably more people that were paying attention to the virus. Uh-huh. And the number of cases has started to go down some. But
That's the story today is that the number of hospitalizations in the U.S. is declining by 1% per day.
Right. And so that's what the prediction is on the deaths. I mean, the sequence of events is pretty straightforward.
Sure.
I mean,
sure,
if people aren't going to the hospital, then the ICUs are going to start clearing out, and then the number of deaths is going to go down. The problem is that with schools opening, it's going to start a whole new wave where people are going to start getting infected, and then they're going to start going into the hospital, and it's going to be the same thing that it was in the spring. In the spring, there was a time period there where the deaths dropped. They were lower than they are today. They were down well below 1,000. They were closer to 500 a day. And that's because the earlier outbreaks were fading so that there weren't that many people in the hospital from those earlier outbreaks. And then the new outbreaks, the people weren't sick enough yet to die. And in many cases, they weren't sick enough yet to fill up the ICU. And so you had this time, you had this period of time where the numbers of deaths were down because the old wave was fading and the new wave had not been around long enough to get enough cases, and it went down. And so it's kind of the same thing now, that the wave that kind of hit in the South is slowing down some. And so the prediction is that the number of deaths is going to start going down because they're clearing out the ICUs. But they're going to start filling the ICUs up again because of the schools opening and more people.
It's all H to H is going to push it right back up. Yeah.
Right. And that's why I'm saying that the voting situation can get very, very dicey because the update is from the post office that they're going to stop getting rid of the machines and getting rid of the mailboxes. But they have indicated that they're not going to return the situation to where it was a month ago when deliveries were on time. So deliveries are still backed up. And if they don't have the sorters that they took offline, and if they're not allowing any overtime, and if they're actually keeping all of these new procedures that they put in place that caused the delays, there'll still be delays. And in addition to being delayed, you know, having delays continue, there were the, you know, the notices that went out to 46 states saying that, you know, your voters are going to be disenfranchised because we can't guarantee that if they follow your instructions and send in their completed ballots, that we're going to get right. them delivered to you in time to be counted, and they can be, disenfranchised. So they're not sending out letters that said, you know, those earlier concerns are gone, that we're going to take care of that. And they've actually said that they're not going to take the machines, the sorters that went offline. They're not going to put them back online. And there's some evidence that some of them have already been destroyed. And therefore, there's nothing to put
back online. I can't confirm that yet.
Machines.
I'm looking.
No,
I'd like to see.
I've seen pictures of them. They're selling it for scrap metal.
All right. Check your email. I sent you a picture of the cone, by the way.
Okay. Well, I've had dogs. I don't think it'll look like. But in any event, the machines are they basically said they're not replacing them. They didn't say
right.
they couldn't replace them. They said they're not replacing them.
Well, the inside word is that they're still actually taking them offline now, even though the Postmaster General said they would stop.
Right.
They're supposedly
right.
still doing it.
Right, and it wouldn't surprised me in the least, and that was almost like it was a PR move, because he has to testify tomorrow before the Senate.
Yes, of
course. He's got to testify on Monday before the House, and he's going to say, "Well, did you get the memo? You know, we've stopped." And you know, the question is, well, you stopped, but the service right now is not acceptable. You've already sent
don't mail anything. Dear friends,
because
in this country, don't mail anything by putting a first-class stamp on the envelope if it's important. It could take 2 weeks or longer. You send something important only through priority mail. Costs almost $8 now. But you won't have a chance if you go first class. You just won't. There's too much chaos right now.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. There's chaos right now. Some people might be of the opinion, well, there's chaos right now, but it'll get straightened out. And that, you know, election time, that, you know, you still have all these options. So you can drop it in the mail or request the absentee ballot by mail. And then, you know, some of the states are going to set up drop boxes so that you
Henry, you know where this is going?
Take to get back.
You know where this
yeah,
is
I
going?
I know exactly where it's going. I know exactly where it's going.
Blockchain.
It's going to
blockchain
no,
and
not,
internet
not
internet
going.
Voting guaranteed by the yeah. security of the blockchain. That's where yeah. they're going to take yeah. this. I'm telling you.
It's not going
not this,
this
not this
year.
Election, but it's coming.
Yeah.
They're
going
to use the blockchain to guarantee validity.
It's going to
go, that's
election,
what they're going to say.
Well,
not
the
this
only
one.
Reason. Well, yeah, but I mean, the only reason there's a problem is because of who's being reelected in this election. There wasn't a problem in the past. If you put it in the mail, it gets there in a day, especially if it's, you know, in house. I mean, most of the mailings are going to your local polling place. You know,
well, that's why they want
to
take the mail out of it. And they'll have internet
county.
Voting. I'm just telling you where it's going.
Yeah,
not now.
Yeah.
It's going there, though. Blockchain.
I don't see internet voting. You've already got, I mean, Trump's already talking to Putin. What do you think they're talking about? I mean, there's the internet is easily accessed. I mean, the advantage of the voting is the at least have a paper trail.
Honestly, study the blockchain and you'll see it is a different critter. It's not like just trusting the wide open Wild West internet. The blockchain is different. Now, they have such stringent security for cryptocurrencies on the blockchain, and nobody can play games with that. So that's what they may well start to prove.
Well, that might. But, okay, but this particular election is got the problem where, A,
Correct.
The machines have already been taken offline. B,
well, 10%.
They've already said they're not putting it back online.
Let's do the numbers again. Let's be what we have. We have 670-some that were 10% of the total machines, 671 out of approximately 6,700, just rounding it up. We don't know how many of those 671 were actually removed. Could be 90% of them. We don't know. But that's the number of machines up for grabs right now.
It doesn't matter. It's already known today that there are major delays. Those major delays.
Oh, absolutely.
Are because some of the machines are already offline. Some of the machines are only running for 4 hours a day instead of 8 hours a day.
It's unforgivable what's going on. I couldn't agree more.
They're supposed to deliver them. Yeah. Aren't allowed to do it if it's going to go into overtime. The procedures in the past were ballots were high priority, so even if they were bulk mail, they would still treat them as first class, and they would make sure that they got delivered. And none of that is happening. The pledge that they're going to stop taking them offline isn't going to change any of that, because they've already shown that what they've done so far already, what's already in place, those procedures and those machines have already led to these very long delays. And the point I'm trying to get to is that the mail is going to be unreliable, and people are going to figure that, well, you know, I'll just put on a mask and go vote. And I think that by mid-October, early November, the amount of virus that's going to be circulating is going to be, you know, 1918 level. It's going to be high levels. It's going to be everywhere. And a lot of people are just going to say, oh, it's only one vote. It really isn't going to make much difference, except millions of people are going to take that same position and they're not going to vote. And they're not going to have the option. Some of them will think, well, I'm not going to vote, but I'll just go ahead and drop this, you know, get an absentee ballot. And they'll just be sitting there waiting for the absentee ballot that'll never come. And so they're not going to end up being able to vote because they're not going to want to go vote. And if there's no mail, you not only have to go to the polls to vote, you have to wait in line to vote because they're not going to have poll workers. So they aren't going to have that many polls open. So there's going to be a limited number of polls that are open. The vote by mail is going to be inoperable because it's not going to be delivered in time.
Correct.
And they're going to just throw everything into chaos.
It'll be in the courts for months.
This is planned chaos, right. And there's a way, and there's a very complicated way to resolve this without having all the ballots, and that's that the House votes and the Senate votes and the state assemblies vote, and it will have nothing to do with how the people actually voted this time based upon who's on the ballot.
Well, you're talking almost an electoral college configuration of some kind.
Yeah, that there are procedures that are in place to how to resolve this if the actual vote is interrupted.
Hey, it's going to be a disaster no matter what.
Or challenged.
That's right.
Well,
it's not going to work.
It wouldn't be a disaster if voting by mail was available. I mean, because it is a pandemic. Most people know it's a pandemic and it's going to be an issue. And they're going to know a month from now that it's going to be a big issue because there's going to be a lot of virus. The numbers are going to be going up. And they'll realize that it's really not safe to go to the polls. And the poll workers are going to realize it's not safe to volunteer at the polls. And so the word will get out that the voting in person is going to be very problematic and very risky. And if the mail was operating as it should, you would still have time to request a ballot. I mean, you basically should only take a couple days to request a ballot and a couple days to get the ballot. And if you get the ballot, if all this happens within a week of you making that decision, and especially if the drop boxes are set up, so you don't even have to rely upon the mail to get the completed ballot back to your polling place. You can just drop that off in a drop box where you don't have to wait in line. You just go by and drop it in at any time. Then it's still going to be doable. But if the post office is not in the equation, so the post office, the only thing they're going to guarantee is that it's going to be late and that there's a very good chance that it won't be received by a deadline, then it's going to be chaotic because you're going to have all these people that planned on voting and, you know, made their decision that they wanted to vote absentee, and they made that decision a couple of weeks before the deadline, and they're still not going to be able to meet that deadline. And then they'll just say that, you know, too many people were disenfranchised by something that was very preventable. And so that's why this whole thing just seems kind of crazy. And it's almost like the only way, I mean, Trump can read the polls and he's not doing well. And it's not really clear that things are going to be better in a couple of months. In fact, most things are pointing to things are going to be worse in a couple of months. And his best hope is this very complex method for basically taking the voting away from the electorate and turn it over to the existing House and Senate and state legislatures, and really freeze out the actual voters who weren't going to vote to reelect Trump. And so these issues of just ignoring the pandemic, I mean, Trump is not doing anything. He's not holding his updates, which actually didn't say anything, but he at least pretended that he was, he had a mechanism for news. He's not doing that. He's basically, you know, watching the Democratic convention and tweeting, and then he's going to be going to the Republican convention.
Right.
So
right.
Essentially, nothing's happening with the pandemic. There's still no national plan. There's still no real contingency plans if the numbers start to go up dramatically, which they're almost guaranteed to do. And it's almost guaranteed that the situation in the fall, when it's time to vote, will be at a level that many people will not want to vote. And it's almost like the schools. It's kind of like, well, you know, we should be able to do this. We got all these contingency plans. We're going to social distance. We're going to recommend masks. we're going to do some testing, and it's going to be a disaster. It's not going to work. It's just going to spread the virus. And then this will be the same thing. Well, we'll go ahead and we'll allow for some early voting, and we'll get some of the voting in ahead of time so that you don't have to wait in line. And then they'll say, we can't get poll workers to man the polls to do the early voting.
Not going
and
to
one
work.
Thing's going to pile upon the other, because the virus is A, underestimated, and B, is worse in the U.S. than anywhere in the world. And C, is because it's starting out at that high level, even if the deaths go down somewhat, the number of infections are going to go up, and then the deaths are going to go up 4 or 6 weeks later.
Right. So, okay, a couple other quick notes here. Movie theaters are beginning to reopen now, and they're banking on a couple of big blockbuster-type films in the next 2 to 4 weeks to see if people will go back to the theaters. That's one. American Airlines is cutting service to 15 smaller cities in the country. More are expected. A new report of a study out of Germany says the odds of catching coronavirus on a plane flight are relatively small. This is not the first such report. So the airlines may get a break. I don't know. German researchers reported that the health status of 102 passengers who boarded a Boeing 737, no problem.
In March.
Correct. March 9th. March. Correct. They should be doing current surveys, but this story for some reason just broke out in the news today. But it was a March event.
They don't have that many passengers. I mean, the problem is that the number of people traveling by air is way down, and probably the number of people getting on airplanes that are infected is probably down somewhat because there's a lot more public awareness. And they're less likely to get on an airplane if they have some type of exposure, even if they don't have symptoms. They more people know that.
What do you think about movie theaters, Henry? Just as long as we wear our cones when we go in there, I guess it'll be okay, huh?
No, they're inside.
I'm kidding.
A bad idea. It's just like the bars and. I don't think the good part is I don't think that many people will go. And so there won't be that many people there. And it might not be as bad as it would be.
They're going to have to find a way to release movies at home on the net.
Yeah, well, they already know how to do that. That's what I say, that, it's all a risk-reward type of a thing. And when you take a look at it and you say, I kind of like going to the movies. It's kind of a different experience. And I haven't done it for a while, so I'd rather go to the movies than to continue watching it at home. But then you look at what the risk of doing that is. Is it really that different? And is it really worth taking the risk? How are you going to feel if you go there and you end up getting infected and then you infect your contacts? And it was just to see a movie. It's pretty easy to kind of do that risk reward and decide that going to the movies instead of watching it on TV, especially initially, is just risky. If they do that and some people go and it doesn't seem to have much of an effect, it might be different. But I don't think any of those things are going to be viable. I just think that the chief driver is going to be schools opening up, and it's going to be an ideal scenario for spreading the virus. because they're going to open up long enough to bring all the students in and get infected and then decide they can't do it. Yeah. And we're just going to have online, and there's no reason you should all be concentrated here on campus. So you should go home and take the course online, and then they're going to go home and they're going to spread the virus. And that's why I say it's just, they're going to do that just in time for flu season, when it starts to get a little bit colder and people are mm-hmm. inside anyway, and the virus is just going to spread more easily. Even after right. you closed down the school.
Well, yeah, so. You got it. Meanwhile, the movie Greenland is due out, I guess, in September now. They pushed it back, I think, to see how the motion picture attendance would go with other films. And the movie Greenland has to do with a comet's tail dropping debris in a planet-killing escapade of disaster movie proportions. And interestingly enough, just a little quickie here, an asteroid the size of a large automobile flew past Earth on Sunday last, 1,800 miles up. That's it. Real close. Would have made a nice big bang had it come in. They allegedly didn't even see this until it was already passed. So, we'll see.
Well, speaking of Greenland, did Trump want to trade that for... Trade Puerto Rico for that?
Something like that. But the Greenland government wouldn't do it. Something like that.
Yeah.
Well, anyhow, that's the story. Okay. Tomorrow, I think, is Friday already.
Yeah.
All right. We'll expect
We'll see. We'll have a mail service update by tomorrow, because there'll be testimony tomorrow.
I think we should sell... Dr. Henry Nyman autographed cones for people.
Yeah, Victoria Collins, right.
That's it. All right. Thanks, Henry.
By the dozen, right.
Always.
Okay. Take care. Talk to you tomorrow. Okay. All right.
Okay. We will see. We will see. I think the only thing we can really take to the bank, so to speak, is that it's going to be chaotic as hell for the next 4 or 5 months. No question. All right. Talk to you tomorrow night. Thanks for being here. Take care.